Hey y'all, welcome to the Bless Our Littles podcast. If you're new here, this is a show about all things motherhood. So, you know, parenting, faith, homemaking, all the things that make up being a mom. My hope is that through these conversations that you would be inspired to become the best version of yourself so you can mother your children the way God has called you to. I'm your host, Alexis, and I'm so grateful to have you here. So on today's episode, we are going to be chatting about my second daughter's birth story. And before we get into this episode, I just want to preface this with that at 2 days old, my daughter was diagnosed with a congenital heart defect. Very rare. And this totally shook my world. If you have not listened to the intro, you may not know this already. I will be doing a full episode, actually it'll be the next episode, where I'm talking about how we found out about her diagnosis and a little bit of what we know about it. But ultimately, my hope in sharing this birth story is really to take you through the process of all the areas where God was so good and so gracious in keeping us, I don't want to say safe, but keeping us from worrying, keeping me from anxiety, and really just being able to enjoy the pregnancy the way he had intended it. And so whether you are trying to get pregnant and you just like listening to pregnancy and birth stories, or maybe you are going to be giving birth soon and you want to hear a positive birth story, or maybe you're just a mama who likes listening to this stuff, I hope that what you get from it is that God truly is so good and he is watching out for every single little thing that we're doing. It's not even necessarily the big decisions and some of the big things that I'm going to talk about today, but he really sees us and meets us in the small moments of our life too. And so anyway, I hope that that is what you walk away from in this podcast. Now, as I said in the intro episode, this podcast really is meant for me to be able to process through so many of these traumas. It has been such a hard road for me. I mean, it totally undid me as a person learning about my daughter's diagnosis. And so my hope is that by talking through this, I can start to heal and really step into the mom that God has created me to be. And I don't want to live in this state of anger and frustration. And for me to be able to move forward, I need to talk about it. And so I thought, what better way to talk about it than on a podcast where maybe I could impact a mom or two and make them feel more normal, give them more, you know, encouragement in being able to have the birth that they are wanting. So anyway, that is what you should know before we get into today's podcast. So let me start way at the beginning. So we found out we were pregnant, baby number two. We weren't trying, kind of just left it in God's hands. We said, Lord, you know, if you feel we're ready, you know, then we're ready. So one thing led to another, and we got pregnant month one of saying, Lord, if this is what you want, here you go. And we just never thought that would actually happen, because with my first daughter, it took us so long to get pregnant. I think it was like 8 months. And it was like the longest 8 months of our life. And I know in comparison to some people, that's not very long, but no matter how long you're trying, the process is so frustrating. It can just be almost debilitating, because you want this baby, you want this gift so badly. And when it feels like the Lord isn't giving it to you, it can be super confusing and honestly angering. So anyway, we find out we're pregnant, and about, a week later, maybe not even, I find out Cameron has COVID. I catch COVID, and now obviously I'm petrified that I'm gonna lose the baby. So I find a midwife in the Texas area, because my husband was going to be going to school down there for a couple of months. And I sign up with her, but her recommendation was actually to find a midwife in Washington or Idaho where we were going to be delivering. This way we would have one midwife all the way through. So that's what I did. I ended up finding a midwife who was willing to do some virtual appointments, and we met virtually for the first half of my pregnancy. So for all the ultrasounds and stuff, I went to an ultrasound technician. She does like a lot of those like 3D, you know, baby ultrasounds and stuff, but her main job is in a hospital and she does, you know, ultrasounds. She's just a tech for them. So at the end of our 20-week ultrasound, she asked me if I wanted a radiologist to read it. And I said, no, I think we're good as long as everything looks good. She says, yeah, you know, baby's got all the body parts, all, you know, four chambers of the heart. Brain looks great. You know, she looks perfect. So we're like, great. Okay, I'm not going to worry about it. So moving forward, now at this point, I should mention we are living in a 40-foot fifth wheel. We were maybe 6 months, 7 months into full-time RVing. And we had full intentions of continuing doing this once we had baby number two. So we were going to be traveling from South Carolina, where my parents are, up to Idaho, where my husband's family was, because we planned on splitting the year that way. So in the winter, you know, we'd be down south where it's nice and warm and toasty, and then we'd go on up to Idaho during the most beautiful months, which is the summertime, and that's where I'd be delivering in June. So April rolls around, we get back to Idaho, and I all of a sudden have this intense feeling that we need to move into a home. And for me to say this, especially to move away from my family and everything, was a big deal. Like, it was not something that I would normally say. So we really prayed about it and said, Lord, you know, if this is what you really want, if this is what you're really calling us to, you know, you will lay this in front of us. And sure enough, a house came up and we couldn't turn it down. There was no homes really available for rent. This had an RV spot on it so we could park our fifth wheel and store it until we were ready to sell it. So like, it just had everything that we needed, and they would take our dog, which we have a German Shepherd. So it's really hard to find rentals that will take a German Shepherd. So we get into this house when I'm 36 weeks pregnant. Now you should know that with my first daughter, I went into labor at 36 and one. So I was pretty convinced at this point that I'm going to be going into labor at 36 weeks, especially with moving and everything. But the problem was, if I went at 36 weeks, I had to have a hospital birth. So I was just praying that I would hold on to at least 37 weeks. So 37 weeks come, 38 weeks come, and I go to my 38 week appointment. And the midwife was like, do you want me to check and see where you're at? Do you want a membrane sweep? Like, what do you want to do? And at this point, I'm so uncomfortable because I had never been past 36 weeks. So I did not know how uncomfortable you get at the end of pregnancy. It's really those last few weeks, which can feel unbearable. My back hurt, my feet hurt, my legs hurt, my just everything hurts. I was getting up to pee 6 times in the night. Like, you know, you're done. So I said, yes, check me. Let me know where I'm at, which I was nervous about because I didn't want her to be like, oh, you're like a one. Okay. You know, nothing's happening, and then be disappointed. So she checked me and she said, you're a 3. If I do a membrane sweep, I can get you to a 4. And I'm like, yes, do it. My biggest fear with the membrane sweep was really that it was going to hurt, and it did not hurt at all. So if it is something that you are thinking about, I know a lot of people have said like they've gone to their OB and they've done it and it's been really painful. If you're going to a midwife, I would highly, highly recommend just doing it. It did not put me into labor, but I just feel like it helped prepare my cervix and everything for labor. So I did get a little crampy on the way home, and that was about it. So 39 weeks comes, and my husband actually was going to be buying a new truck that day, so he needed to drive like 2 hours away. And I'm like, are you serious? Today of all days? I, you know, really want to go into labor. I, you know, watch, you'll be gone. I'll go into labor. You know, he's like, that's not going to happen. Like, you're always going to labor at night. Always. Like, I've been in labor once. But last time you went into labor at night, it's not going to happen. So my daughter was actually at my mother-in-law's for the evening, and so I decided I'm going to do the Miles Circuit. And if you are not familiar with the Miles Circuit, it's basically three different positions that you hold for about 30 minutes. And it's a 90-minute cycle, so it's pretty long, but it helps to get baby in a better position. I highly, highly, highly recommend everybody do this because it just will help everything. I promise you, it's amazing. So I do the mile circuit and I did nothing. And I'm like, what? I thought I was gonna have contractions right after. Like, I was expecting to like be going into labor when I was done with this at the 90 minutes. So I was pretty discouraged. So I ate dinner, my husband came home, I took a bath and got into bed and fell asleep. And then I wake up to what I was pretty sure was my water, but I was like, I think my water broke, but I'm not sure, it could be pee. And my husband's like, well, how do we know? And I'm like, well, if I stand up and it all comes gushing out, we'll know it's my water. So I said, go get me a towel, because I didn't want to get it on the new rugs in the rental. So he comes over and gives me a towel, and sure enough, it all comes out more. Now, just so you know, like, if you have not been in labor yet, typically your water does not break first. Like, this is not common. It happened with my first and with my second. So that happened twice is crazy. But typically it doesn't. So I, at this point, was expecting, I had no contractions, like, it's going to be several hours before we're talking about like active labor. So I told my husband, let's just get kind of the car packed, get things together. I'm going to get a little snack and then let's go back to bed. So we start packing up and all of a sudden my stomach really hurts and I can tell I have to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, babe, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm sorry, I can't finish helping you. He's like, no, it's fine. I'll just finish packing up the car. And I was really glad that I was not feeling well, because with my first, I didn't feel that way. And I was so worried about pooping during labor. I'm pretty sure I did. Like, straight up and honest, I'm pretty sure I did. I don't want my husband to ever tell me if I did or didn't, but I was very worried about this second time around. So I was glad that I didn't have that. I'm glad that I was able to go to the bathroom and I didn't have that to worry about all throughout labor. So anyway, that happens and I get back in bed and I'm gonna go to sleep. So I lay down to go to sleep and I'm just noticing I'm starting to get kind of crampy and I'm like, all right, you know, contractions are gonna start. I'm gonna try to get to sleep before maybe get too intense and then I can't fall asleep. Well, I'm laying there and what felt like maybe 15 minutes and I'm just noticing they're getting stronger. I'm like, huh, I should like maybe just time these. So I get out my phone and I'm timing them and they're saying like 6 minutes, 5 minutes. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe, you know, it's just the beginning. And, you know, a lot of people start at like 10 minutes apart. So 5, 6 minutes just seemed too short. And I was like, maybe I'm not timing them right. I don't know. So after like a little bit, I start realizing like these are getting much stronger. And then they started getting closer and closer together. So I get up and I'm like, I'm just going to labor like standing up because my back was really hurting. I was having back labor, I could tell. So I was like, I'm just going to get up and like do some birth ball stuff and, you know, just try to get comfortable. So then I start looking at the actual like times, because at this point I was just timing them, not really paying attention to how close they were. And I look down, they're like 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes apart. So I just told my husband, like, hey, I just want to let you know they're like 4 to 5 minutes apart. And at this point, we were supposed to be leaving to go to the birthing center because we were about an hour away. But I was like, it's only been like an hour since my water broke. Like, this is not right. Like, I don't think I'm timing them right. He goes, oh no, I think you're timing them right. And I'm like, no, I don't think I am. I don't think I'm that far along. Like, let's just give it some more time. And so he's like, well, I want to go finish packing up. There was a few things he wanted to pack up that we would need to like leave in the fridge and stuff. So he's like, let me just go pack that stuff up. I just want to get the car completely ready to go. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go do my hair. So, you know, we all do funny things during labor. So I do my hair and I look down and they are like 3 minutes apart. So I call my midwife. I'm like, hey, my contractions are consistently like 4 to 5 minutes apart with like a couple 3 minutes in there. And she's like, yeah, well, you could start heading this way. It's like, well, my water broke. She's like, yeah, I'll just head this way. You know, I'm sure, you know, it'll be still several hours, but come on in if that makes you feel better. So we get in the car and the contractions are consistently 3 minutes apart. And I don't want to alarm my husband at this point because, you know, like, he's worried about me giving birth in the car. So he's driving along and he goes, hey, do you mind if we stop to McDonald's? Now, this has got to tell you that I definitely don't think, or I'm not acting like I'm as far in labor as I was. So I'm like, sure, go ahead. So I hate McDonald's. I hate the smell of McDonald's. And so he gets it. I'm like rolling down the windows because I don't want to like throw up from the smell. So we get back on the road and now they're like consistently 2 and 3 minutes apart. And I'm like, hey, I just want to let you know they're like 3 minutes apart. I didn't want to alarm him with the two. So he starts kind of picking up his pace and gets there a little faster. By the time we get there, I'm having a contraction as we roll in. My midwife comes out. She's like doing some counter pressure on my back, which kind of helped. My husband started unloading everything. And once we got settled, she was like, do you want me to check you and see where you're at? And I said, well, I still think we have a bit. But yeah, why don't you just check me just so like mentally I know where we're at. And she's like, well, we know you came in at a 4. So she goes, my guess would be like a 5. You're probably like a 5, you know? And I'm like, okay. So she checks me and she's like, oh my gosh, you're an 8. I'm like, what? An 8? How did that happen? So it had only been like 2 hours since my water broke. So I'm at this point shocked. She's like, well, let me just move the baby's head a little bit. It feels like it's, you know, not in a great position. Let me just kind of like move it a little, which I didn't even know you could do, but apparently you can. So she's like, let me do that. And then, you know, we'll labor some more and I can check you in maybe like an hour. So I had to get antibiotics because I was GBS positive. If you're in a hospital, you like, I think are required to get it. I don't know if you can refuse it. But with a midwife, if you're doing a home birth, a lot of them will let you decide whether you want one or not. And I decided to get it just because I didn't want to have a NICU stay this time around. And I didn't want to risk, like, even though the risk is really, really, really small, I didn't want to risk being in the NICU. So I had that. I think it was 15 minutes it took to get the antibiotics into my system. So we do that and then I labor. I'm just swaying back and forth at this point with my husband, which was so, like, it just felt so good. And then she says, do you want me to check you? So it had been an hour. So now it's been about 3 hours since, it was probably about 3.5 since my water had broke. And she's like, oh, you're like a 9. I'm like, okay, good. Like, we're making progress. And a little bit of me was frustrated. Like, I was like, man, I should be like a 10 already because, you know, I was an 8 when I got here. But whatever, you know, I was like, I just need to labor a little bit longer. We're almost there. And it was amazing because at this point, I was pretty much like laughing and joking. And then contraction would come and my husband and I would sway back and forth. And we had really calming, relaxing instrumental music on, candles. It was dim lights. Like, it was such a nice calming environment. So I just kind of expected I'm going to give birth any minute. Well, no, you know, I still labored another hour. And then all of a sudden I had this urge to push. And I hadn't felt like that with my first because they were telling me to stop pushing because the midwife wasn't there yet. So I'm like, no, I need to push. So they go get the tub ready because I wanted to birth in the tub. And before it was even halfway full, I'm like jumping into it. And I could not get comfortable. I think if we have another baby and I want to do a water birth, I had the pool, but I couldn't do the birthing pool at this where her birthing house was. There wasn't enough space, so I had to do it in the tub, which was not comfortable. I could not find a comfortable position, but the water felt amazing. So definitely, like, I highly recommend a water birth. Just a normal tub can just be a little bit uncomfortable. So I start feeling this, like, I need to push. Like, there's no questioning. I need to push. So I just start pushing. She's like, no, wait. Like, wait till the top of the contraction. I said, I can't. And so I just pushed, and I literally pushed for 5 minutes, and she came out. And her cord was actually wrapped around her neck, and I was not panicked. I was not worried or anything. You know, she quickly unwrapped it and gave her to me. I was so happy I got to hold my baby this time, which I didn't get to do the first time. So, but I looked at her and she didn't look right. She was very purple, and, you know, but I kept telling myself, maybe it's just like normal. Like I don't know, because I've never seen a baby not purple when they're born, because my first was purple. So I of course start panicking that it's tachypnea again. So then I got to hold her and love her. She seemed to kind of, her colors started to seem to be coming back, kind of. And then I would say about 20 minutes later, after we were just snuggling there and everything, I felt like I needed to push my placenta out, and I pushed. She pulled just a little bit just to kind of help it along, and that was it. And got up, and she gave the baby to my husband, and we got into the bed that she had there. She checked me. I didn't tear at all. And then I got to nurse. And so it was just like the most beautiful experience. The whole labor, start to finish, was 5 hours, like just under 5 hours, which is absolutely amazing. And so when I look back, you know, I see God working in a few areas. One, that 20-week ultrasound where the tech should have seen that one side of her heart was a little bit bigger. That would have sent me into a direction that would have been horrible. I would have had anxiety the entire pregnancy. I would have probably needed a C-section because they would have been worried about her heart. They probably would have given me a 50% chance rate of survival. I would have had tons and tons and tons of different appointments. And on top of that, I just would have been stressed, which would not have been good for her, you know, all throughout the pregnancy. And so the best thing for her was that I didn't know. And the Lord knew that, you know, the Lord knew that she was going to come into this world with this defect, but he also knew that I could not know about it, because if I did, it was going to hurt her, and you know, it was going to hurt me. And so that was amazing. The fact that my intuition, my gut, I really believe it was the Holy Spirit placing that there, that we need to be in a home, because we would need to be rooted once, you know, Josie had this diagnosis. And so that was beautiful. The fact that she held on to 39 weeks is something that doctors, once we got to the NICU, were shocked with, that she was 39 weeks, because most babies with this, just, they don't make it that far. And just as she was as big and as healthy as she is. And so I just, like, I can't believe how good and how loving the Lord is, even when he gives us things that are hard. Like, he gave us this diagnosis, which is going to be a lifelong thing that we're all going to be battling. And yet he wanted to protect us and keep us from worrying during this whole time, not just so I could have a great pregnancy and so I could have this awesome birth story to tell, but he was protecting her. He knew her heart could not take much more than that. He knew that. He knew that her labor couldn't be longer than that, because it was going to be a lot in her heart. So that's going to wrap up this episode about Josie's birth and her pregnancy. And really what I hope that you learned from this was just that even though this is God's story, even though this is where we should be glorifying him, right? That's really what we were put on this earth to do. He still loves and cares for us enough to make sure that we are kept safe and that we are protected. He wants what's good for us. And I think that's the part for me that was really hard to see at first. But now that I have some clarity, and it's been a little while, I can see that yes, he wants us to glorify him, and that's what we were put here for. But I mean, he still wants what's best for us, and I just think that's such a cool thing to see. So in the next episode, we will be chatting about how I found out about my daughter's diagnosis. We'll also be touching a bit on the postpartum period. This episode will be a little bit more heavy, and if you have been in the NICU, you've had a child in the NICU, it could be a bit triggering, so it may not be for you, or it may help you to process through a lot of what you went through as well. So anyway, that is gonna pretty much wrap up this episode. If you feel like there is somebody who could benefit from it, make sure you share it with them, and if you have a few minutes, go ahead and review the podcast, because that is how we are going to be able to reach more women and hopefully help them to become the best versions of themselves so they can be the best parent for their child. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening, and I will talk to you in the next episode.